Punjabi Harlem. Jaya Radha Madhava, Punjabi Hare. Kapi Chhapa Lapa, Giri Varada. Kapi Chhapa Lapa, Giri Varada. Yasaranandana Padijana Ranjana Yasaranandana Padijana Ranjana Chamanakya Panachari Charanati Apanachari Jayarada Madhava Punjabi Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Shivaji Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. Perfection of spiritual knowledge. So should we do 4 or should we do 6? Okay, we'll do 6. Huh? No, we're going to start with 4. I'll just read up to 6.
And then we'll chant
6. Because if there's a progression there. So we'll come to the conclusion when we get to 6. So I think it would be better than reading 4. Tapastirtam chapotanam pavichani tarani cha nalam kurvantitam sihim yajnana kalayakita. Translation. That perfection which is produced by a small fraction of spiritual knowledge cannot be duplicated by performing austerities, visiting holy places, chanting silent prayers, giving in charity, or engaging in other pious activities. Purport. Jnana here refers to a clear understanding of the Lord's supreme dominion over all that be, and this realized knowledge is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That the Lord is supreme is confirmed in the previous verse by the words Param Shrestam Vidur Mama. One may perform penances or visit holy places with a proud mentality or material motivation. Similarly, one may chant prayers to God, give charity, or perform other externally pious activities with many bizarre, hypocritical, or even demoniac motivations. Realized knowledge of the supremacy of Lord Krishna, however, is a solid connection with the spiritual world. And if one pursues this holy understanding, one is gradually promoted to the highest level of conscious existence called Vaikuntha, or the kingdom of God. Verse 5. Tasmat jnanena sahitam gafa swatmanamurava gyavigyana sampanno bhajamam bhakti bhavanaha. Translation. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, through knowledge you should understand your actual self. Then, advancing by clear realization of Vedic knowledge, you should worship me in the mood of loving devotion. Report. The word vijnana indicates realized knowledge of one's original spiritual form. Every living entity has an eternal spiritual form which lies dormant until one arouses one's original Krishna consciousness. Without knowledge of one's own spiritual personality, it is not possible to cultivate love of the Supreme Personality, Lord Krishna. Therefore, the words gyatva svatmanam are significant here, indicating that every living entity can realize his full potential as an individual person only in the kingdom of God. Test 6, so I'll say one line and you can repeat. Jnana vijnana yajnena mam istvatmanam atmani sarva yajna patim mam vai sansihim munayokaman. Jnana vijnana yajnena visvatmanam atmani sarva yajna patim mam vai
Sri Marayogamam.
Jnana Vigyaya Jena.
Om Ishvakmana Mahmani. Sarva Yajna Timambai. Sansitim Marayogamam. Jnana Vigyaya Jena. Iswatmana Mahani Sarva Yajna Timambai. Sansi Marayogamam. Ladies. Jnana Vigyana Yajna. Mam Iswatmana Mahmani. Sarvayakya Patimambai. Samsi Manayokaman. Samsi Manayokaman. Samsihi Marayogamam. Jnana, a Vedic knowledge. Vijnana, and spiritual enlightenment. Yajnana, by the sacrifice. Mam, me. Ishtva, having worshipped. Atmanam, the Supreme Lord within everyone's heart. Atmani, within themselves. Sarva, of all. Yajna, sacrifices. Patim, the Lord. Ram, me. Vai, certainly. Sangsidim, the supreme perfection. Munaya, the sages. Agaman, achieved. Translation. Formerly, great sages, through the sacrifice of Vedic knowledge and spiritual enlightenment, worshipped me within themselves, knowing me to be the Supreme Lord of all sacrifice and the Supersoul in everyone's heart. Thus coming to me, these sages achieved the supreme perfection. Mukam karoti vachalam bangam langa te girim yakipam tamaham bande si gurum tinatavinam omagana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur meditam yena tasmai si gurave namaha. So when I read these three verses, I saw the essence of Vedic knowledge here, sambandha, bideya, and prayojan. And it's a coming from verse to verse, sambandha basically in verse 4 and 5, abhideya verse 5, and prayojan in verse 6. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 7.146 is sambandha abhideya prayojana nam 18 artha sarva suti prayavasan. One's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, activities in terms of that relationship, the ultimate goal of life, love of God, these three subjects are explained in every aphorism of Vedanta Sutra. They form the culmination of the entire Vedanta philosophy. So here we have it here in this Gana chapter. We have, again, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan. In the fourth verse, we have Gana, the purport. Gana here refers to a clear understanding of the Lord's supreme dominion over all that be. This realized knowledge is none different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sambandha, we need to know our relationship with Krishna. And the preliminary knowledge is that he is the Lord of everything. He is our Lord, Bhoktaram, Yagatapasam, Sarvalokamahesham, Suhiram, Sarvabhutanam, Gafamam, Shantim, Vichati. So then in verse 5 we have Vijnana now. We need Jnana and Vijnana both. These are both part of sambandha gyan. Purport, the word vijnana indicates realized knowledge of one's original spiritual form. So here we get a bit more intimate in the knowledge that we understand, oh, I'm a servant of Krishna. Now, the first one, we could come to the understanding perhaps that since everything, Krishna is the Lord of everything, everything belongs to Krishna, I also belong to Krishna too. And then the next verse, if I belong to Krishna, then what is my relationship with him? So here then we get vijnana, jnana and vijnana. Oh, I'm a servant. What kind of servant am I? Who am I in relationship to Krishna? So sambandha jnana. And then, but if you have this knowledge, if you know, okay, I belong to Krishna, Krishna owns everything, he owns me, I belong to him, I'm his servant, then therefore, here in verse 5 it says, therefore, tasmat, if you have this knowledge, what will you do? I will worship. You should worship me in the mood of loving devotion, bhakti bhavata, bhakti bhavata. It's if you know I'm a servant of Krishna, then it requires some action, that's avideya. Then comes avideya. And so then you have jnana, you have vijnana, and yajnana, that's avideya, you do yajna, your whole life is a sacrifice for Krishna. Then samsiddhim, then you get love of Godhead. Coming to me, the sages achieve the supreme perfection. So now, this also, we heard yesterday in the class how there was a Bhagavad Gita verse that represents the verse which we heard yesterday. So there is a Bhagavad Gita verse which reminded me of these verses. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva pajante mam bhuta bhava samanvitaha. So I am the source of all the spiritual material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So this is sambandha again. We have that in this verse. And if you know that, iti matva bhajante mam. Who? Buddha, the sages. If you know that everything is emanating from Krishna, then you're going to worship him. Then Buddha, bhava samamita. Again, bhava is there in that verse of Bhagavad Gita. Here again, bhavata, in the fifth verse. And so we will worship him with bhava. We will worship him. So there's principles. This is a principle, a very important principle, that Krishna is the Lord of everything. I am his servant. And if you know this, then some behavior must follow. In Bhagavad Gita, you have in Bhagavatam, these principles are there. And if we actually believe in these principles, then it will show in our behavior. So how will it show in our behavior? We will worship Krishna with love, with devotion. And then we will come to the samsiddhim. We will go back to Godhead. So now I'd like to also talk a bit about yajna here. We heard all about the varnasham and how you should do it as at the culmination was you should use the varnasham as a service for Krishna. Now also your jnana, your knowledge, should culminate in sacrifice. So what is that sacrifice? The sacrifice is that the sages having this knowledge, then they worship Krishna. We have to worship Krishna. So I'd like to give an example of somebody who did that. That's Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was a king, and he encouraged everyone to engage in varnasham duties. But the citizens, they did it out of love for him, just like when Prithu Maharaj was the king. And fourth canto, chapter 21, verse 25, he tells us, he gives instructions to his citizens, and he says that, okay, now please perform your varnasham duties. And he's saying, this will help me at the time of death, and it will help you also. And so now who cares for the president, you know? They're not going to do anything out of love for him. But in those days, everything was based on love. Sang Siddhir Haritoshanam, based on love of Krishna, you also love everyone. You love the king, you love the king loved the citizens. And so Haritoshanam, this is the basis of everything, the basis of the Varnasham, the basis of knowledge also. So during the reign of Yudhisthira, everything was there because he was Krishna conscious. Everything in this world that belongs to Krishna, everything is his universal form. So when we perform sacrifice, we take the things of this world and we offer them to Krishna. And so when if you have a Krishna conscious ruler, the clouds showered the water people needed, the earth gave everything in profusion. You didn't have to cultivate, you had your fruits there. The cow used to moisten the grazing ground. And a very interesting thing is that not only the citizens pay tax, but the rivers, the oceans, the hills, the mountains, the forests, the creepers, this is 110.5, and the active drugs paid their tax quota to the king. Everybody was paying taxes, and it was out of love. They loved King Yudhisthira so much that they just naturally produced everything and gave it to him. And so what a way to live. This is the way to live. This is yajna. This is the yajna we have to do. And so Prabhupada explained that every herb, every creeper has a function to perform. It's part of the universal form of the Lord. Everybody, we're all connected to Krishna, and all the trees and all the creepers are all connected to Krishna. They have a purpose. They have a service to do for Krishna. And we don't know. We say, oh, these are weeds. Take them out. But Prabhupada said, he gave an example from himself that the medicine is there everywhere in the jungle. If you go to the jungle, of course, even here there's a little jungle behind our house. It's just all these trees, kind of a jungle. And those who know, they know how to use the medicine. And so Prabhupada said he had, in 1931, he had a toothache. He went to the dentist. The dentist couldn't cure it. So his servant took him out to the village. And there was a village doctor there, and he got a weed, and he put it, touched it to his mouth, and all the germs came out, and his toothache was cured. And so everything has a purpose in creation. And when you have this applied knowledge, when you have a king who is Krishna conscious, then everybody works together in harmony to serve Krishna. Everybody performs their service. So he was giving the example of the river. The river has its service to give us water. And in the summer, the water is evaporated from the ocean and then it's placed on top of the mountains and then it comes down. So in India, I don't think it works here. In India, we have tanks on the top of our houses and we pump it up. So it's kind of like copying nature in that sense. And so if we understand the relationship to Krishna, then we can be happy in this world. We can be happy. So Prabhupada gave the example of how if we follow the laws of nature, if we become Krishna conscious, then we can even control serious diseases. He said in Calcutta there was a plague in the early 1900s. And they cured it by Harinam Sankirtan. They went house to house, and he said they came to his house. He was a small boy with a Harinam, and he was dancing. And so Krishna consciousness is the solution for all problems. We just need a Krishna conscious king or president now, and then the problems will be solved. Why should we offer sacrifice to Krishna? Of course, it will be a happy life. He says in Gita, you offer me sacrifice and you will live happily. I've sent you generations of men and demigods into this world with sacrifice. So be happy with the sacrifice. So, but why should we? I mean, what are some other reasons? Why should we offer this sacrifice? What should be our attitude? The verse says, bhavataha. Our attitude should be bhakti bhavataha. We should have bhakti. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, patam pushpam phalam toyam, offer with bhakti, offer with love. And so in one purport, Prabhupada says that the impersonalist wrongly concludes that he is the Lord and everything should be, he should be the center. But the devotee, out of gratitude, worships the Lord in devotional service. So out of gratitude, we should worship that, oh, you have given me all these things. So please take it from me. This makes Krishna happy. So out of gratitude, Prabhupada says when human society is grateful and offers things to Krishna out of gratitude, then there will be no scarcity. And it will benefit us. When we connect with Krishna, then he is the Lord of wealth, he is the Lord of everything, he's the Lord of knowledge, he's the Lord of fame, he's the, whatever you want, Krishna can give you. But it requires an attitude. And so not only does everything belong to Krishna, everything belongs to his devotees too. Because the devotees are Krishna's representatives on, in this world. So when Prithu was doing his sacrifice, and he was hearing, actually he was hearing from the four Kumaras, and he wanted to offer some dakshina to them, he said, actually, I can't offer anything because everything belongs to you. You are the Brahmins. Everything belongs to you. What can I offer? What can I offer? It's all your remnants. But Krishna is pleased, the devotees are pleased when we offer to him. Just like when my son was 5 months old, he was a small baby and he had to have his grains. He was such a big baby, I had to give him grains at 4 months old. He couldn't wait till 6 months because he was just too hungry. So one day I was feeding him his grains, his cereal, and I was taking the spoon and putting it in the bowl and putting it in his mouth. And then he grabbed the spoon from my hand, stuck it in the cereal and stuck it in my mouth. And I felt so, so sweet. He loves me. So that's how we are with Krishna. We're taking the things that belong to him and we're, take. Please be having Krishna's please. Krishna's happy when we do that. Krishna's happy with us. Now we just saw the grain ceremony of your child. He was very happy to have those grains. And so Krishna is happy to have our grains too. He's happy to have our offerings. Like Sudama, it's the bhava that counts. It's the mood that counts. He had something that was not even offerable, this chipped rice, and he was embarrassed to give it, but Krishna snatched it and said, no, no, I want this chipped rice. And so in Bhagavatam again, how to engage in sacrifice, how to offer ourselves to Krishna. There's four ways. It's described in 10th canto. Etavad janma safalyam dehinam iha dehishu pranar artha diabacha shaya acharanam sada. So four things you can give. Prana, give your life. And Prabhupada said, if you can't give prana, okay, there's artha, you can give some money. And if you don't have money, there's dhya, there's intelligence. You can help plan things out and use your intelligence. If you don't have intelligence, there's still one thing left for you, and that is vacha, words. You can chant Hare Krishna, you can distribute books, you can get somebody else to chant. So Prabhupada engaged us in all these ways. Prana, artha, dhya, vacha. He engaged our life, our money, our intelligence, and our words. He saw all of us as parts of Krishna, and he wanted to engage us in Krishna's service. He wanted to offer us all to Krishna. He engaged us, both rich and poor. Some of us had nothing to give to Krishna, but others did. I know I was a musician before I joined, and I had a cello. And it was a valuable one, kind of, you know, it was made in the 1800s. And I remember when I joined the temple, then they needed money for rent, so I sold my cello for 1 month's rent to pay the rent in Boston Temple. And Prabhupada, Jayananda, he gave his savings to Prabhupada. Brahmananda gave his savings to Prabhupada. When Brahmananda gave his, he was expecting to get the Bhagavatam books in return for the check, $5,000, and there were three Bhagavatam books. And Prabhupada said to him, that will be extra. So he said it was harder to get that $16 than it was to get the $5,000. Because he was a brahmachari, he didn't have any job. So, yeah, Prabhupada, he knew how to engage us. So, although he's self-sufficient, he doesn't need anything from anyone, Krishna, but he accepts our service as super soul because he has a friendly attitude towards all living entities. So he wants us to be our friend. a very interesting lecture in the beginning of 1966, Prabhupada encouraged all of the people who were in his class, and who knows who was in that class, that you should make friendship with Krishna. We should all be friends. That's a pretty high level. It's second to last on our list, you know, friendship with Krishna. So how to do that? Dadati patigrinati kuyam akyati prichati bhunkte bhochayate chaiva sadviham priti lakshanam. He, Prabhupada, quoted Nectar of Instruction, verse 4. He said, this is how you have to make friends with Krishna. Huh? No, that was even before. Yeah, it was when he, where was he, in the Bowery? Or Dr. Misha's place. Well, that's the very beginning. Oh, okay. Would you like to repeat that for our online viewers?
Well, you mentioned that this was early...
Yeah, early...
66.
Yeah.
And I'm not positive, but it sounds like he was giving a talk or at the Ananda Ashram.
To the students. That was one of his first lectures. So he said, now we have, here it is, I got the quote here. Now we have to make friendship with Krishna, just like if you want to go see somebody very great, you have to make some connection with him, introduce yourself in a loving manner. So if we want to transfer ourselves to Krishna Loka, then we have to prepare ourselves how to love Krishna. Nectar of Instruction, there are six kinds of loving exchanges described, so we have to deal with Krishna in that way. And the beginning is offering. Even a poor man can offer these things. They are available anywhere. The real thing is love. So then in another lecture, he said how to love Krishna. I don't know. This is teachings, TQE. Yeah? TQE. The Quest for Enlightenment? Or I don't know. Is that, what is this? Well, it's from a lecture.
Yes, sir.
From a lecture. So you must practice how to love Krishna. Now he's going to tell us how. Besides the six loving exchanges, there's other things we have to do too. First, you have to get up early in the morning. Prabhupada said, you don't like to. But you think, okay, I'll rise early to satisfy Krishna. This is the beginning. Then, I have to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra on my beads. Prabhupada said, you may be lazy. You may not want to do it. But if you want to love Krishna, you must do it. You must do it. In the beginning, you have to learn how to love Krishna. But when you actually come to the state of love of God, there is no question of have to. You'll spontaneously follow the regulative principles because love is there. So, if you act in there, then he gives the six loving exchanges. Probably from the same lecture. If you act in these ways with Krishna, you'll develop love for him. And so, this was Prabhupada's mood. He had this bhakti bhavana, and he gave it to us. He gave us the highest thing. And he was very humble about it. Even though he was receiving so much worship from us, he always remained humble servant of Krishna. One time in the London airport, everyone was bowing down. The reporters were looking at the devotees like, oh, how can they bow down to this man? So first thing Prabhupada said, spiritual master should be given all respects as God. But if he thinks he's God, then he is dog. So he knew how to charm the reporters. He knew what to say. So this is the sacrifice we have to do. And what's the best sacrificial offering? As we heard yesterday, hearing. Hearing and chanting. Hearing is the most important thing. It's the beginning. When I thought about sacrifice in this class, I was thinking about one mark on the lotus feet of Radharani, the sacrificial altar. This symbolizes sacrifice. And it has many meanings, but the meaning that really interested me was how it says the universe is the form of Krishna. So whatever we see here, that's Krishna. And the offering is the form of Radha. So if you take these things of this world, and as soon as you offer it, then Radha and Krishna are together. They come together on the sacrificial altar. That's the meaning of that sacrificial altar on Radharani's lotus feet. So this is our challenge of our life, to offer ourselves in sacrifice. The sages of Naimisharanya, they have this realization of performing their fire sacrifice. Karmanyasmin anash vase dumadum rat manam bhavan apayayati govindapada padma savamadu. We have just begun the performance of this fruit of activity, sacrificial fire, without certainty of its result due to the many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Govinda, which you are distributing. So our sacrifice in Kali Yuga is of ears, of tongue, of heart, to chant the holy name. Prabhupada explained how to chant attentively. Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. So this is the goal and the means are the same, we have heard. And so that is good for us. We don't have to do something different to achieve love of Godhead. Chanting is everything. We can just chant the holy name. That is our yajna. Sankirtana prayaya janti hi sumedasa. Those who have good intelligence, they worship the Lord in the form of Sankirtana. Of course, today is Harinam Sankirtan, so you all can get a chance also if you're here. So we'll stop if there's any questions, comments. Yes.
I have a question.
Oh,
Haribol.
Haribol.
I don't know if this is exactly proper, but if you don't want to do it, it's okay. But I remember, was it 10 years ago? It was a japa retreat. And you told a wonderful story about how you had an operation and you were under anesthesia.
Oh.
And you saw the holy name came and saved
you.
Oh,
that's okay.
A great story. And
you want to hear the story of, in 2004 it was. And they put me under, and they gave me an overdose of anesthesia. And I was, In India. And I experienced what it means to be in the void. I had lost my identity completely. No identity, no desires, no mind, no subtle body, no gross body. I was just... I was conscious. Everything was black. Everything was black and I was conscious. And I could have been a molecule or an atom for all I knew. You know, no sense of personality. Just complete. I lost all my memory, even of who I was, what I was, anything, gone, just completely. Yeah.
Did you, as a perceiver, stay out of it to see that you have gone unaware?
To say I was just in some black place, everything black, surrounded by black.
No, I'm not understanding that concept. In a deep sleep.
Yeah, but but you're not conscious.
Correct.
Yeah.
So are you positioned as a perceiver, is going on around you, you're perceiving?
It seems like I was a perceiver of black, everything black. But no sense of, I had a sense of perceiving, but not a sense of identity. Like no way, no idea of identity.
What about awareness? You were aware.
I was aware of the black, just black. Only black. Yeah, Prabhupada talks about it in a purport somewhere in Bhagavatam that under anesthesia you can experience this. So I did. Yeah, complete loss of identity. I have a good memory, right? Well, it was all gone. And so then I, in that darkness, I saw the holy name come. In multicolor, in English, and like dancing, like a screensaver. It was coming across.
Was it the one with the diacritic?
No. It was like that one. I think it was in capital letters. It was like that, and it was each letter was in all the colors of the rainbow. And it caught my attention. And then as soon as I saw it, I started chanting, even though I didn't have any senses or no idea, no clue. I just started chanting. As soon as I started chanting, I remembered who I was. Now, oh, yes, I am Narayani Dasi. But why am I in the void? It looks like I left my body. No body here. Gross or subtle. How come I'm in the void? I was so frustrated and upset. Why am I in... But I understood why. I mean, I learned, I had a lot of realizations after that. And I did start... then all my verses started coming to me. Govinda Madhu Purusham does that. I said, no, I'm going to keep it simple and chant Hare Krishna. Then I started composing prayers in Sanskrit, although I don't know Sanskrit. I just remember the beginning and the end of the prayer. Here I am again in this place. It was like a familiar place. I'd probably been in the void for ages. And I said, okay. And the end of my prayer was, Sharanam Prapadye. I surrender to you. Yeah.
Did you see your body?
No.
No. People have out of body experiences.
No. I didn't see my body. I didn't see anything. It was just black. Completely black. And then I started remembering Krishna, and I started seeing the pastimes. But not in two dimensional form. Like it wasn't in three dimensions. I started seeing, you know, everything, all the. And then I started coming down, and then I saw my body, but not as a body. I saw it as a city, and I didn't understand. It was like roads, glowing roads. And then later on, a few months later, I saw a picture of the nadis, and I said, that's what I saw. I saw the nadis.
What is that?
I don't know what the nadis are. They're a subtle thing, I think. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, the energy. I saw that, and I went into that. I saw that. And then I looked down, and I saw, like, the earth. I saw myself and my son, and they were both okay. I said, okay. I just saw where we were. And then I went, then I woke, then I, it took 4 hours. It was supposed to be a half an hour thing, procedure. And then I woke up, and I couldn't see. I could hear, but I couldn't see. And the doctors were asking me, and I just said, what happened? I wouldn't let them go. I just said, what happened? What happened? Nothing, it's normal, natural. I had something in my hair, I had the heart thing, I had the breathing. I said, what happened? I didn't believe them, that nothing happened. Something, a lot happened. But I got so much realization from that, that before I had a negative outlook on the world, that I don't want to be here. This is a miserable place. Get me out of here, just finish it. And then I became very grateful. Thank you, Krishna, for giving me this body, for this chance to serve you. I was very impersonalist attitude, very negative. And I always wanted to get away from it all, so I got it, you know. I got my impersonal get away from it all. I go ahead, I said, oh, bro. I mean... I had lots more. Huh?
That's a lot more than we heard in the retreat.
Yeah, there's a lot more realization than that, too. I can give you, yeah.
My question is kind of connected to the last point you were saying about feeling in devotional, sometimes we see devotees or there's this negative outlook or kind of like, you know, let me leave this body, let me leave my family, let me leave.
Yeah.
And you were also mentioning that we need Vedic kings, we need devotee rulers.
Yeah.
And it seems like the only way to for our movement to move into that direction is to be in the world and to accept it and to really feel. So could you comment on that? Like this kind of balance between being detached at the same time interacting with the world and sometimes interacting with kind of the most negative or, you know, dirty parts of this.
Well, I guess what my realization has been recently that if you forget Krishna, then everything becomes negative. You see everything negative, the world becomes negative. You can see the connection somehow or other that this is Krishna's plan, Krishna's doing what's the best thing. Krishna is there. You have to see Krishna in the world somehow in what you're doing. And that's your challenge, how to see Krishna in the world and in your activities. Yeah, in the back, I don't know your name.
Thank you for your class, Mother. I was thinking, when I first came into Christian consciousness, I came through an impersonalist path. And anyway, I used to have this dream, past life regression dream, and I was always in some kind of war or something. So anyway, recently I had another one, and I was in a war, fighting, and all that. So it was very vivid and everything. And so anyway, then all of a sudden, in the middle of this dream, or toward the end or whatever, I just started chanting while I was asleep. So then, and then I woke up. When I woke up, I was chanting.
Yeah.
I was chanting. And so anyway, I remember Bhakti Tetraswami said one time, he says, I think of Mother Indrani, she asked a question out of a sense of humility. She was saying, well, Maharaj, I don't really have any devotion and this and that. And so I'm old now, so if I left my body, what's the use? So then Maharaj told him, he says, Krishna will invade your consciousness with, he would just come there.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. You had a problem, Govinda? You had something?
Yeah, I was just technical.
Okay, technical. Yeah. Good. I need that help.
I would appreciate if you can just relate what I'm trying to say. Like, for example, when I chant, the idea is that I can see my physical body uttering the name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and I see the mind is somewhere else doing. And I, particularly, I separate myself, I'm watching both. The physical body is chanting and mental body is doing some other contemplation to do with physical body uttering. And I focus, I try to choose immediately to listen to the mouth and hear the holy name. So in your case, when you say you were seeing, you were chanting, did you...
No, I saw the holy name. Like that, like that.
You saw it printed out.
I saw the words.
When
I, when I, first I saw, like, you know, you look over there, and then somehow I started chanting. I started to read the names. I started to read.
Did you hear that you were chanting? How did you know that you were chanting?
I must have, I don't know. Because I didn't have a gross or subtle body. Must be the soul.
Okay.
Because I didn't have gross or subtle, nothing was there at that point. It was just like a black screen. You know, when your computer goes blank. It was like, you know, that's how it was.
You know how in Bhagavatam, 13th to 7th chapter, text 6, 7, Prabhupada explains about Asudarshan Chakra, Uddhava's lamentation. Uddhava is lamenting. He thinks like it is worse than demon because he could not go out of his feeling for the Lord. But one part four, I think 6 or 7, Prabhupada writes that when Sudarshan Chakra dissolves the subtle body, then the soul can actually see the Lord.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing covering. At that time, Prabhupada gave a predestination to take place in the soul. If we appreciate, and in this regard, Prabhupada says, Shishupal did not appreciate.
Mm.
So he marched. But those who appreciate, they go to Vaikuntha.
Right.
So I was trying to understand your concept. It's a very good example in the history. Did you notice that you are chanting? You are aware?
Yeah, I noticed. I noticed. As soon as the first was my eyes.
Yes.
First sight came.
Yes.
And then the sound came. That's how it came. That's how Krishna came to me. Another thing is that it was good. I was thinking, okay, at the time of death, you may forget Krishna, but Krishna won't forget you. See, so that was another good realization I had. But, okay, don't worry. Krishna remembered me. I mean, I lost all my memory. I could have been an atom or a molecule for all you know. That's how I, you know. Yes, Ragatmika. Yeah, they gave me an overdose. Now I can't take anesthesia anymore.
You were saying that we have to see Krishna in everything. And I think, you know, sometimes circumstances are such that sometimes we think wow, this is due to my foolishness or my mistake, or how did it come to this, you know? So to see Krishna in such everything, do we say, Krishna, what do you want me to see in this? What do you want me to learn? What do you want
exactly.
me to know? Is that what we?
Yeah, right. What do you? Well, there's two things when things happen to me that are difficult. What's the lesson? And what's the message? Two things. Like, one is your lesson. You're supposed to learn how you're supposed to change your perceptions, change your attitude. Usually you have to change your attitude. And the other one is Krishna's giving you a message. Okay, you know, this is what you should do. You know, it's like a message. Go here, go there, do this, do that. Usually I try to see what I have to learn and what Krishna is trying to tell me. Like his hand is there. His hand is everywhere. So he must be trying to tell me something. I'll tell you one more realization from that, really interesting one from that thing that happened to me. When I was studying Bhagavatam to teach Bhakti Vaibhav, and whatever I study, I go through. So when I was going through that, I was saying, oh my God, what was I studying? What was I studying in Bhagavatam that I had to go through this? And it was exactly what I was studying. It was fourth canto, I think tenth, was Dhruva fighting the Yakshas. And all these illusory things were happening to him, you know? And I was studying and I stopped before the last verse. And you know what the last verse says? The sages say, chant the holy name and it will save you from death. And that was what happened to me. I have a lot of examples of things that happened to me while I was studying Bhagavatam. That was one, yeah. No, they said I was struggling to breathe. They told me I had bronchospasm, I couldn't breathe, I was struggling to breathe. I wouldn't let them go. I couldn't see them, I was just saying, what happened, what happened, what happened, what happened? I wouldn't let them go. They were saying, trying to tell me things. And I said, what happened? And they finally told me, well, we gave you three times anesthesia, one time's too much for me, you know. Within, you know, the proper limits, not my limit, though. So I was saved. I did a Prithu reading, Bhrigu reading after. They said I was brought back to preach. Anyway, Hari Bol, yeah. Our glories to Srila Prabhupada.